Welcome to our show. Before we start, did you know that you could support our show by pushing the patron button at our website, thebillshow.net? You'll be helping us pay the bills and continue to provide you with what we do every fortnight. Political insights and progressive news, including some of the most recent clips from the U.S. political scene. Just click patron at thebillshow.net, and for the cost of a cappuccino a month, you can help us maintain our show. Thanks. Now on with the show.
From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Bill Show on thebillshow.net throughout the civilized and uncivilized world. With me...
It is. And from the uncivilized world...
Yes.
It's me. It's me, Randy.
I was about to do the intro to you. I was about to throw to you.
Sorry.
In the uncivilized world, here's Randall Berger.
You know what?
Man.
I love your little. Well, small minds think alike. Look, I love your little appeal there.
Yeah.
I thought you said matron instead of patron.
No,
and I thought you want to be a mate. And I just had a picture of this really old battle axe nurse.
Yeah.
Holding a cold water enema, yes. And I'm thinking, no, I don't want that.
Yeah,
I'd rather listen to the Bill Show than have a cold water enema.
I feel that basically it's my equivalent of sitting there in little in Dickens' London with a little bowl going, please, sir. You know, I mean,
can I have some more?
Please,
yeah.
Sir.
Can I have some more? Yeah.
I feel that our podcast,
yeah.
If only our podcast audience was like one of those people with little bags who just went, "Here, boy." I like your lefty wisdom. Here.
Well, what if we were the ministry
podcast microphone?
Yeah, what if we were the Ministry of Truth and we actually had a two-way like television like Winston Smith, you know? And we could do the Bill Show, and then people could look at
us. Half the people who just heard you say that remark said, "I'm not listening to this again."
Yeah, they turned their radios to the wall.
They have. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about
here
anything else
are.
Because basically we're knee deep in poo. Into the new
knee
Trump,
deep, neck deep.
The more
neck
we
deep.
Find out about Donald Trump, the more he's repulsive.
Oh, but the more he finds out about the job,
yeah,
the less he seems to want it.
He's like a panic.
And he actually,
he's like a panic gerbil. You know, I mean, I can say it's like, oh fuck, did I have to do all this shit? Oh fuck.
And will somebody please take his fucking mobile phone away from him?
He was up. Let me tell you something. You know the tweet that he came out with the other day where he sat there talking about. He said, "Anybody who burns the flag, you know, anybody who burns the flag,
they should be burned at the stake."
No, they said that basically it was going to be kind of like a year in prison and you lose your citizenship. Now, I want you to know something. This guy does not read policy briefs. In fact, he avoids reading policy briefs. But at 6:30 in the morning, he's watching Fox and Friends.
He doesn't it's not the
really,
briefs. He doesn't even take the live brief.
What's that?
He doesn't even take the live brief.
No.
He doesn't even have the guys that come and talk to him. He doesn't even listen to them.
No.
They don't.
Do you have? Do you know? Did you hit that button by mistake?
The screaming cats.
Yeah.
No, I hit it absolutely. But he doesn't even let the guys. He's only had two security briefings. You know, the president.
Yeah.
Or the president-elect is supposed to have one every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Queen's red box. Or, you know, the Pope gets his little things written on communion wafers that you could eat after you've read them.
I think that it'd be a lot easier to get him to read the policy briefs if
they could basically simplify all the language and get Brett Baer from Fox to read it to him, because then he might, you know, and then we could put Ducey in the briefing lead to, you know, say something immensely stupid, you know, that'll keep him engaged, don't you think?
Well, he's also, somebody said he probably thought this was like a retirement, like he would become president and then he could kick back. You know, I think he saw too much of George W. Bush down at the Texas White House.
Yeah.
W used to be down. He was down there like every other week.
Yeah.
On Air Force One.
Yeah.
Just doing barbecue and
doing
stuff.
I don't think George W. Bush did anything.
Yeah.
Nothing went wrong.
He never
wrong
did
then.
Anything.
Okay, let's get to it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the beginning, of course. We're talking about Trump. We got to be talking about the president-elect Trump. Oh, my God.
No, do not say that.
Whatever.
There is no position.
Here is the intro for Mr. Trump on The Bill Show. Here it is.
But here's an idea. So Mexico is sending lots of people. And by the way, they're coming from all over the world, including the Middle East. Why not? Come in. Come on in. We're stupid. We'll take care of you. We'll pay. But I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war. I love war in a certain way.
That's our new intro for Trump. I think it's a bit long, but still.
What, springtime for Hitler?
Yeah, I thought I'd give it one more go.
All of its quotes.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most humiliating things we saw this week, and this was because, Randy, one of the things you get to see as the Republicans kind of cave in on each other.
Yeah.
Is you get to see people who have no soul in their body, that are actual soul.
Well, not
drone.
Just no soul. They have no pride.
No, no.
They have no self-esteem.
No self-esteem. No sense of moral balance. No sense of convictions.
No moral. Their moral compass is spinning.
Nothing.
Like something in a science fiction movie compass.
Absolutely, it's a starry spinning heaven of hypocrites and people who have absolutely no conviction, patriotism, or feeling of religious, true religious feeling at all. Which reminds me of Mitt Romney.
Oh, Bishop Romney.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to play for you a little something that Mitt Romney said, nay, only 7 months ago.
Listen to this.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. This is a time for choosing. He has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president. His personal qualities would mean that America would cease to be a shining city on a hill.
Well, Mitt Romney is a tower of character.
Well, you know what? You know what?
Yes.
I would have voted for him this time.
Yes.
If it was between him and Trump.
Let me tell you, there's a dog barking in the background here. I would have voted for that dog.
Yeah, it's Bernie Sanders.
Yes, that is my dog, by the way.
And you called your dog, Bernie Sanders. And I think
and
that's...
the dog's name is Bernie Sanders. That's right.
I would have voted for him.
Okay, I'm just a nut.
I would have voted for Romney because he had elected experience. He'd been governor of Massachusetts.
Yes.
You know, I would have voted for George W. Bush against Trump. Not against Hillary or Bernie, but I think I would have voted for anybody.
I would have voted for that dog and a lounge chair. I really would before this guy. But let's get back to Mitt Romney because this is fun.
Bishop Romney,
after saying so many lovely things about Trump, this is a very wonderful thing that I read. Mitt Romney showered Donald Trump with uncharacteristic praise Tuesday night, minutes after polishing off. Yes, how does that? What does that taste like? Polishing off the dinner of Donald Trump's cock in his mouth. Sorry. Scallops and lamb chops.
No, it wasn't scallops and lamb chops. It was frog's legs and scallops.
Yeah, frog's legs. I had a wonderful evening with President-elect Trump. Romney, who is under consideration to be Trump's secretary and whore of state. Oh, no, just secretary of state. Told reporters. Yes. I have a trophy for Mitt Romney, and you don't want to know what it looks like.
It looks like the microphone picture I just sent you.
Yes, it does. We had another discussion about affairs throughout the world. And, of course, Trump was talking about different kind of affairs than he was.
Yeah, he certainly was.
I know this brave in Bucharest. What knockers?
Yeah.
That's seriously. That was it.
What do you think about my daughter? What do you think about my daughter?
What do you think of my daughter?
If she wasn't my daughter, I'd bang her.
I would just like to see him get like to the entire Romney clan and just turn to Romney and go, "How much for the women? Delete the girl."
Yeah, I think Mitt Romney's magic underwear is on too tight.
The little girl, how much?
Yeah, how much? You want to buy? You want to buy a piece? You want to buy a piece of candy? Podcast. What? Do you want to
this
buy
is why
a
we'll never be a mainstream podcast.
No.
We had another discussion about affairs throughout the world, and these discussions I've had with him have been enlightening and interesting and engaging. And in the end, this is what he said on Tuesday. He said, really, you have to listen to this. I have a little drum roll, please?
Ooh.
Just a drum roll. Here it is. Drum roll. Here it is. Stop it. I happen to think that America's best days are ahead of us. Well, maybe.
Well, yeah, because you can't go back in time. What do you think, it's Back to the Future?
Let me finish this bullshit. I happen to think that America's best days are ahead of us.
Oh.
And what I've seen through these discussions I've had with President-elect Trump, as well as what we've seen in his speech the night of his victory, as well as the people he selected as part of his transition team. Mm. All of those things combined to give me increasing hope that President-elect Trump is the very man who can lead us to a better future. Mitt, Sieg Heil!
Oh, God.
Sieg Heil!
Herr Drumpf, yeah.
Yeah, just make sure that you don't turn out the lights in the barracks.
Yeah, don't pick up the soap, Mitt.
You know, my theory on this entire Mitt Romney thing is that I said it last week, Mitt Romney is not going to be Secretary of State. Well, he's not going to be Secretary of State. Donald Trump is just humiliating him. This is all procedural.
Yeah.
If Romney becomes Secretary of State, it's because Mike Pence got his way. Because Mike Pence wants to have at least one person that's not a loon back.
Yeah.
You know, so he can appeal to the corporate right. But the corporate right are going to love Trump anyway, because just look at the cabinet. But which brings us, of course, to our next thing, Randy.
I can't wait.
This is what we call Meet the Cabinet, ladies and gentlemen. It's the game we're playing right now, and right here on the Bill Show, let's have the dating game music.
The Wheel of
Meet the Cabinet.
The Wheel of Misfortune, yeah.
The Wheel of Crap, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, this is from the New York Times. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon is emerging as President-elect Donald Trump's leading contender for the Interior Secretary job. Secretary of the Interior. That's looking after all those, you know, national parks and things.
And Indian reservations. Like Standing Rock. Yeah.
She huddled with the president-elect at Trump Tower in New York City last week, telling reporters after the meeting that they discussed oil and gas industry and Native American tribes in Oklahoma. Yeah, I bet they did. Which fire hose to use? She also touted a recent settlement with the tribes in her state. An advocate of oil and gas development. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Fallon signed a bill last year that would prevent Oklahoma cities from enacting bans on drilling.
What, like dentists and things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's a hot oil person, and you are going to have private oil companies drilling for oil and fracking on federal land really shortly.
Oh, it'll be on public land.
On public land.
Yeah.
And Teddy Roosevelt's incredible gift to this country.
Yellowstone National Park.
The national parks of this country are going to be spoiled and ruined by this maniac. Fallon is a staunch critic of the Obama administration's climate change regulation for power plants. She signed an executive order last year, saying that her state will not comply with climate change rules. Fallon has faced criticism from the environmental groups over her stance on climate change. In 2013, she questioned whether climate change was to blame for her state's drought. This is what old Peggy said.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I would say.
I'm going to do my best.
I would say yes. Yeah, I would say yes.
My best climate change skeptic from down Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It's just nature itself and the patterns that flow. So we're going to continue to pray for rain in the state of Oklahoma and hope that we get some relief.
But you know what? Oklahoma is also, they've doubled the earthquakes there, you know, because of all their fracking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's great for Interior Secretary.
Oh, Sarah Palin must be really upset. The next one is even better,
Randy. This, I know that you can't think that this could get any fuckload worse.
Yes, it could. It could. Yeah.
It can. Okay, here it is. This is the guy that they're going to put in charge of the United States Treasury. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Steve Mnuchin. Steve Mnuchin is a very interesting character, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Mnuchin was actually one of the bastards who foreclosed on people during the financial crisis. Let me read you a little story about Steve Mnuchin. This is from David Daniel in New Republic. Here it is. Critics have raised many questions about Mnuchin's financial dealings, from a lawsuit over pocketing profits at the Bernie Madoff case to a suspiciously quiet exit from Hollywood production company Relativity Media just before it took huge losses and filed for bankruptcy. Just his association with vampire squid Goldman Sachs has motivated some anger. But another part of Mnuchin's history is more relevant. He's chairmanship of One West Bank. By the way, he was a chairman at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
That's who you want. That's who you want in charge of your treasury.
Absolutely.
The guys that ripped you up the last time.
Yeah.
His chairmanship of One West Bank. What is One West Bank? One West Bank is part of Steve Mnuchin's history of shit. Ladies and gentlemen, do we have that again?
History of shit.
I love that segment.
History of shit. Okay. One West Bank, a major cog in America's relentless foreclosure machine. Even among the many bad actors in the national foreclosure crisis, One West stood out. This is who he was the chairman of. It routinely jumped to foreclosures rather than pursue options to keep borrowers in their homes. Used fabricated and robo-signed documents to secure evictions, and had a particular talent for dispossessing homes of senior citizens and people of color.
Yeah, of course.
Mnuchin's presence in the campaign reveals how the qualities of Trump loyalties projected on their hero don't measure up to the truth. They have venerated him throughout the Republican primary for a rejection of this type of Wall Street interference in politics. But by appointing this, you know, basically, the new boss is the same as the old boss. Okay? Some of One West Bank foreclosures, I really wanted to listen to this guy. This guy's great. Some of One West Bank foreclosure stories were particularly heartless. Leslie Parks of Minneapolis, Minnesota, was negotiating with One West for a modification on her loan. When she came home during the blizzard of December 2009 to find the locks changed, This practice of dual tracking, negotiating with a homeowner while pursuing foreclosure, violates federal servicing statutes. It took Parks 2 years to end the ordeal, receiving a grant to keep her home. Rosemary Goodell, the woman who camped out on Mnuchin's lawn, there was a woman named Rosemary Goodell, she camped out on his lawn because she was evicted from the home, also got a loan modification to save her home. But typically, only the cases that reached the headlines ended happily. Tens of thousands of others ended in foreclosure. One West accomplished these foreclosures through fraud. Erica Johnson-Sick, a vice president of foreclosure and bankruptcy for One West, explained in a July 2009 deposition that she robo-signed 6,000 foreclosure-related documents per week, spending just 30 seconds on each sworn affidavit that attested to the veracity of all relevant information in the case. This guy was involved in one of the most shonky and disgustingly vicious assaults on the very people that voted for Donald Trump. And he is now Treasury Secretary, or he's going to be Treasury Secretary of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, within the space of a few years, that we're going to have another financial crisis. Because the first thing they're going to do is withdraw Dodd-Frank, then it's off to the races, and the same rich bastards that ran the economy into the ground in 2008, they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
But this time, there'll be nobody to bail them out, and there'll be a worldwide depression.
Yeah, but corporate tax will only be 15%.
That's right. That's right.
But
this guy, corporate tax will be okay.
He has experience. He has experience. People are saying that none of Trump's picks have experience. This guy has experience.
Yeah. His experience screwing the middle class.
But you know what? You know why he wants to
The guy's a fraudster. The guy was part, chairman of a company that committed fraud.
Yeah.
And he's in charge.
So is Donald Trump.
Secretary of Treasury.
So is Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, they're gonna get along really well. Really well.
But you know what? You know why? You know why
Mnuchin? Like
you know why
I
Mnuchin
like
wants
I like the cut of your jib.
You know why Mnuchin wants to be Secretary of the Treasury? Because he gets his signature on the dollar bill.
That's it. I'm sure. That's a big thing for their.
It is a big thing for a guy. You know,
it's a big thing for kids these days.
Yeah, to see your signature on the money.
Listen, I also wanted to comment quickly on, I read a thing on the Southern Poverty Law Center's Teaching Tolerance Project administers an online survey to K-12 educators from across the country. Over 10,000 teachers, counselors, and administrators and others who work in school have responded. The survey data indicate that the results of the election are having a profoundly negative effect and impact on schools and students. 90% of educators report that school climate has been negatively affected, and most of them believe it will have a long-lasting impact.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read some of these reports from all over the country. Okay, here. Small sampling of what the Southern Poverty Law Center got. From a high school counselor in Arizona, a group of white students held up a Confederate flag during the Pledge of Allegiance at a school-wide assembly. High school teacher in Minnesota, the slurs have been written on assignments, send the Muslims back because they are responsible for 9/11. One teacher in Washington, I hate Muslims, school blurted out while the class was learning their major religion. Proud proclamation of racism was made by a student after the election. Bet those black people are really scared now. That's from a high school teacher in Michigan. Let's have a look at Kansas. Kids saying, Trump won, you're going back to Mexico. Boys grabbing girls, cornering girls against lockers. Kids yelling, Trump won, so there will be less people here soon. That's from a high school teacher in Kansas. Here's one from Tennessee. Kill the niggers, etched in a school bathroom.
Yeah, but look at that.
Paper with the N-word left in my classroom.
That guy from California finally was fired. The one who did he's actually a Holocaust scholar who did a comparison between Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler in 1933, which we've been doing for over a year now, I think.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He was fired, and it's a legitimate comparison.
It is a legitimate thing. And it's really bothering people like Bill O'Reilly, and that's why I want to go to this clip, ladies and gentlemen.
Something bothers Bill O?
Billo's really bothered.
Billo the clown?
How dare we? He's very bothered, Randy. He's very upset that we would even impugn that there were any racists going on. I mean, that Trump attracts racism. It's total nonsense, according to Bill. Let's have a listen to the profound musings of Bill O'Reilly on the subject.
Campaign 2016 segment tonight, creating a mythological situation. That is the subject of the third Talking Points memo. The liberal press, furious that Donald Trump won the election. So now they're putting out absurd storylines designed to denigrate those who voted for Mr. Trump. The top one is that somehow the white power movement is gaining momentum in the USA because of Trump. It's vile to suggest that it does. Individual nuts are everywhere. Assigning them status is grossly dishonest. I am so tired of this, I can't tell you. And that's the memo.
How dare you say I hang around with racists?
Well,
how dare
Bill,
you?
You know, I've got to...
No, I don't. I'm not racist.
Poor Donald.
What are you going to believe, your eyes or me? Okay? Because here's some... I just happened to look around. Okay? If you want to hear, by the way, we were trolled by
Trumpites. Oh, yeah, I love them.
And let me tell you,
great.
They're nuts. They're fucking nuts.
And they go
seriously.
Deep. They go deep, too.
People threaten my life. I'm a guy with a podcast. I mean, yeah. What is your problem? I'm sitting there, but when Bill O comes off with this shit, if you don't like the people you're hanging around with, Bill... I don't know what. Maybe you should change the people you hang around with.
Well,
it's like going to a meeting of ducks and being surprised there are ducks there. You know, it makes no sense. Here are some of the people that definitely aren't racist that Bill is talking about. Have a listen to this, Randy. This is fun.
Now I got you. Because black lives don't matter. There ain't no proof. Just because you say something don't mean nothing.
Wow.
Prove it.
I appreciate
it. Hey, check it out.
I
if black lives matter, if, hey, I'm talking for you.
I
appreciate it. I appreciate it, sir.
So black lives don't matter because you got a problem in traffic.
No, black lives don't matter. No, the problem in traffic was you were right behind me, sped up and drove around me, jumped in front of me, and made me slam on my brakes at a light. That makes you... That proves that black lives don't matter.
You get the fuck out. You know what? That's what Trump should do. The second he's elected, give all you motherfuckers your tickets back. You don't like it? Peace. Black lives matter. Go matter the fucking Ghana. Go dig for fucking diamonds over there. Have fun.
You realize you sound like a racist, right?
Maddie, I don't care. You want to know why? Because I'm not up there saying white lives matter. White lives come to the front. Black lives go to the back. I'm just like, hey, what's up? How you doing? But when you want to come at me with your fucking black lives matter and this, that, and the other thing, and the white people need to go to the back because white black people always had to go to the back, now the white people need to do it, fuck your black ass. Get the fuck out. Get out of my country. You're causing the fucking problem. Bye.
I never said anything.
Here's your ticket back to motherfucking Nigeria. Peace out.
I never said any of that.
The guy you voted for is the number one fucking head of that fucking bullshit. He fucking started the shit, and he fucking incites fucking riots. When he said, I support the Black Lives Matter movement, that's it. You're done. You're done. You're a dumb fucking nigger in my book. You have no fucking value to me.
You do realize it makes you sound like a racist when you use racial slurs, though, right?
Then don't be a dumb nigger.
So don't be a dumb nigger. Let me tell you something, Bill. I have been watching this campaign from the beginning. For you to be willfully blind and to give... Really, what you're trying to do is give corporate guys who just lay it on in their golf courses, all your guys, an out so that the Mitt Romneys can come and join the fascists. That's what you're doing. You say, oh, no, there's no fascism. Man, we had black people beaten at your fucking rallies. This guy is advocating a registry of people based on their religion. He's a Nazi. And you are too, you...
Ay, chihuahua, ay, chihuahua, ay, chihuahua, ay, chihuahua, ay, chihuahua.
The idea that you could deny it is the most offensive thing of all. You know, I mean, you know, with a straight face. With a straight fucking face. Listen, I did want to end on something that was actually up. So I have this recording. You remember Mary Poppins? I remember the Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins, Julie Andrews, one of my favorite old movies when I was a kid. And he had this, and I remember when I saw it, I thought Dick Van Dyke's accent was still lousy then. It's Mary Poppins, but I loved him anyway. You know, it was the crappiest English accent known to man. But the thing was, is that she went up and she told Jane and Michael, it's time to do some chores. This is how I'm feeling right now as a progressive living in the time of Trump. It's time to do our chores. But I thought I'd give you some lickety split kind of nice music to do it, because there are things that we can do to help resist Trump and work to save America from, save the world, you know, just on the light-hand side. So I looked up a few things that we can do as progressives, even if it's just from home, to help resist Trump, ladies and gentlemen, resist Trump. So can I have a little Mary Poppins music, please? Yes, here it is.
In every job,
yes, it's
done,
Julie Andrews. I love this. Listen. Yay! What could we do in the next 4 years, Randall, to make it easier for us to live with ourselves? Yeah. Well, I took the idea basically from... I've got to turn Julie down a bit.
Yeah, turn...
Julie.
Yeah.
Julie, you're
well,
too loud,
she's pissed
darling.
Off about the
thank
animatronic
you.
Bird. She's, apparently it drove her nuts. It took days to shoot.
I don't. Oh, yeah, I know. She's a tick. Julie Andrews is a ticking bomb. She just is. Okay, the next 4 years are going to be a constant assault against women, against all progress we've made in the past 100 years for women, minorities, and LGBT rights. You may be wondering, hey, do I have to sit here and be depressed? No, you can be like Julie Andrews in the background here. Everyone,
drop some acid. Drop some acid with sugar.
Don't drop acid. Here it is. 5 concrete ways that you can actively but privately protest Trump alt-right GOP takeover of America.
Yeah.
Number one, guys, money talks. It does. There are many organizations that actively fight against Donald Trump's most outrageous appointments, horrendous policy proposals, and blatant flaunting of the Constitution. Here are a few. The ACLU. Mm-hmm. The Anti-Defamation League. These are people all looking for money. Black Lives Matter. Common Cause. The Council on American-Islamic Relations. The Democratic Party, if you feel you have to.
Oh, aren't you awful?
Come on, man. Show some balls. The Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund. Every Town for Gun Safety. The Electronic Frontier Foundation. Human Rights Campaign. And all these links are available at billshow.net. The billshow.net will update at the end of this night's show. Lambda Legal, NAACP, the National Resource Defense Fund, Planned Parenthood.
Yes, that's
give
the one.
A recurring,
what about all those people?
Recurring,
what about all those people that donated in the name of Mike Pence? Apparently, Mike Pence donated millions of dollars in the last 3 weeks.
It. I love that. I want you all to donate $5 a month in the name of Mike Pence.
Or Donald Trump, yeah.
Or Donald Trump. And he that's more than he would give. Rape and Abuse and Incest National Network, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who did that great work.
Or the
work,
Bill Show. Become a Bill
Show
sponsor.
Or become a Bill Show thing. But I'd say go to these other places first. And if you throw us a five.
Yeah, throw us
a ten. You know, because we're not going anywhere. If you like listening to us and we make you happy that you're not alone.
Or drop acid.
Don't drop acid.
But you know,
Standing with Standing.
Yeah,
I want to finish this. Standing with Standing Rock, Stories at Standing Rock. That's a great little thing there that you can go and get that link up on billshow.net. Write letters and make phone calls. Now, there are certain things that you can do. First of all, there's one app. There's a new app, super easy to use, called Call to Action, and it connects you with your congressional representative with just one tap. Whoismyrepresentative.com. Now, this site will help you see who represents you in Congress, as well as give you a whole damn list of phone numbers. You can call your state legislators, governor's office, or whoever else is involved in whatever is happening on the day, whether it be the appointments or anything. Take an active step. It takes 2 minutes to do. Get up, make a phone call. You feel you've done something, and phone calls make a difference. They really do. Google them. Call them. Try doing it every day. Seriously.
Okay, here's another one. Are you got any more?
I got more. Sign up to see what you can do. There are many action-oriented sites that have sprung up in the last 2 weeks. Here's several that we have we are going to sign up on, if I haven't done already. But it's hard overseas. I'm going to a meeting tomorrow at the docks with other Democrats to see what we can do over here, Democrats abroad. The Donald J. Trump resistance. Are you done? New Wall of Us, subscribe to get 4 concrete actions a week. I don't know what that is. Holy fuck the election. Fighttrump.co. And what do I do about Trump? Just put those into your
search
finder.
Engine, yeah.
And your search engine, that thing. And you should be able to do that. And that's off of an article by, let me see, I got to credit this article. Oh, it doesn't give a name. But a very, but a very, very good article about. But what? No, she's not calling from AA.
Sorry, I thought that's
why are you rude to this nice lady? She wrote a nice little blog.
Okay, I've got one more, and this has happened in the last week. There are several incredibly unflattering photos of Donald Trump. Yeah. In fact, I think all photos of Donald Trump are unflattering. But there are some in particular. And people have come up and they've said, oh, Donald Trump does not want to see this picture again. Please do not post it. And it gets a million hits. 2 million shares. So, and there's a whole slew of them. There was another one that showed him with his quadruple chin. I mean, it looks like a goiter. And the people superimpose it on so many things, you know, Jabba the Hutt, whatever.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious. I think nothing is more powerful than satire, and those photos deserve to be shared.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, go out and share these things with people, your friends, your social media contacts. All of them.
But in the end, get up, and do something. I'm going to a meeting at the docks.
Well,
because we literally have a meeting that's like, okay, what
you
now?
You don't have any
what
docks can we do down where you are? Oh, maybe.
We don't. That's a Bill Hicks expression. I got some people to meet by the docks. and, you know, got some Democrats we hang out by the docks. with Marlon Brando and Lee J. Cobb.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, listen, that's about all
I
got today.
I've got one more I want to share.
Yeah, Randy?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I've got a genuine Australian vox pop.
Oh, do you?
This a couple of genuine Australians.
You want to do it now?
I want to play their opinion of Donald Trump, which I think pretty much sums up how all Australians feel about Donald Trump. Now, here they are.
These are actual Australians, Randy.
Two genuine Australians.
Two genuine Australians. Okay.
Here they
are.
Yeah,
okay. You have a thing with bird calls, don't you? You have a thing with bird calls. That's a genuine Australian.
They're two genuine
That's what
Australians
we hear outside our house every day.
I know. Both, even here in the city, yeah.
What are they called again?
Kookaburras.
Kookaburras. And they're laughing.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah. Okay. We get the idea, Randy.
All right. Well, that
sounds
that,
like it's climbing up your shorts.
Well, they are sometimes referred to as the laughing jackass.
Yes.
Which I think is appropriate.
That's true.
But that's our Australian national funny bird.
Funny bird.
Funny bird. And it's a kingfisher, a giant kingfisher.
Yeah.
And when you get a few of them together in the bush, and it just sounds like
it's a laugh riot.
Okay, I'm sorry for that.
That's very good. I'm glad because I don't know what you're going to come up with. That's part of the joy of this broadcast.
I can't pull a rabbit out of my hat, but I can pull a hair out of my ass.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Okay, listen, we're going to be back with another humorous creature who's going to let loose on you. That's right. It's going to be Randy's Rant right after this break. Here, hold on. Hold on, Randy.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round play.
Now, here comes the music.
Good evening, and welcome to Anderson Cooper 360. It's been 10 days since the election, and we are covering every moment of Donald Trump's transition. Joining me tonight at two big ugly desks are CNN chief political analyst Gloria Borger.
Sure.
Former advisor to President Obama, David Axelrod.
Hi, Anderson.
CNN chief political correspondent, Dana Bash.
It's Dana, for some reason.
Trump supporter, Kayleigh McEnany.
Thank you. I'm smug to be here.
And former Obama administration official, Van Jones.
I'm the good one.
Now, this has been an unprecedented week, but we at CNN are here to hold Donald Trump accountable. Let's start with some breaking news. Donald Trump wants top secret security clearance for his kids, even though they're also running his businesses. Gloria.
Okay, you know what? This is not normal.
This is crazy.
This is where we in the media have to draw the line.
This isn't like when Trump called women fat. I mean, that was okay, fine, whatever, who cares? But this is different.
And we cannot let him off the hook this time.
Can we just remember that most Americans voted for Trump?
Actually, they didn't, Kayleigh.
More breaking news. The entire KKK is planning a parade to celebrate Trump's win. Gloria.
Okay, you know what? This is not normal.
No, this is crazy.
This is where we in the media have to draw the line.
This isn't like when he asked for security clearances for his kids. I mean, that was okay, fine, whatever, who cares? But this is different.
And we cannot let him off the hook this time.
Okay, can we just remember that most Americans voted for Trump?
Actually, they didn't, Kayleigh.
Sorry, more breaking news. Donald Trump may force all Muslims to register in the United States. Gloria.
Okay, you know what? This is not normal.
Yeah, this is
unacceptable.
Crazy.
This is where we in the media have to draw the line.
This isn't like when the entire KKK threw him a parade. I mean, that was okay, fine, whatever, who cares? But this is different.
And we cannot let him off the hook this time.
Can we just remember that most Americans voted for Trump?
Actually, it didn't, Kayleigh.
Breaking news again. Steve Bannon, a white nationalist, has been named Trump's chief strategist. Gloria.
Okay, you know what? This is not normal.
It's unacceptable.
We in the media have to draw the line.
Okay, this isn't like when you wanted to put all Muslims on a list. I mean, that was okay, fine, whatever, who cares? But this is different.
And we cannot let them off the hook this time.
Let's just remember that most Americans voted for Trump.
Actually, they didn't, Kayleigh.
Looks like we have some more breaking news. I'm sorry, I just had this weird memory, like we keep doing the same.
Okay, which one's malfunctioning?
The one in the glasses skipped out of his loop. He was starting to remember.
All right, let's get him back to programming.
Bring in the replacement host.
I'm Jake Tapper. Breaking news. Donald Trump has settled a massive fraud lawsuit for $25 million. Gloria?
Okay, you know what? This is not normal.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Sundays at 9.
And now it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Yes, it's time.
Let's all gather around.
What are you doing, Randy?
Oh, yeah, I got my tassels going in concentric circles. And my nipples are hard.
Randy, this is, stop it.
I just love that,
Randy,
that bump and grind.
It. You're a disgusting old man. Stop it.
We're both, I'm a little bit older than you.
No, don't count me in on this. I'm not sitting there with tassels on my nipples.
They're a metaphor.
If you go to the BillShow.net, there are photos of him. You will never have sex again, ever.
Well, at my age, you're probably onto a sure thing. Okay.
No, you gotta keep frisky, man. Keep those tassels in your bedroom drawer.
Yeah, no, anyway, now you're going disgust. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my rant, and I can wear tassels if I want.
That's right. Thank
you. And
do
you
that.
Know how hard it is to get them to go in concentric circles?
It is.
You ask
that's
Gypsy
right, Gertrude,
Rose Lee.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. I've got my rant this week. Mm. I've decided to give over to what I think is a profound historical event, and that is the passing of Fidel Castro at 90.
Yeah.
90 years old. Now, I grew up basically with Castro. I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. I didn't quite understand it. We all wore Che Guevara t-shirts without really understanding who he was or even what socialism or communism was. I remember the terrible things where his people went to Namibia to fight the Sudafricans. But there was a lot of good about Cuba as well. I don't think he was necessarily the best president, but he was loved and adored by the majority of people. He was not a Saddam Hussein. He was not an Adolf Hitler, though he is called a dictator. No. But and he lived to 90 and smoked a cigar every day of his
life.
That's
right. That's right.
And anyway, I've got a BBC report about Fidel Castro, not sort of lamenting him. Of course, this being the first true test of Donald Trump's diplomacy.
Yeah.
Obama said, "We've seen the passing of a man who profoundly affected our world." And Donald Trump said, "Goodbye to a dictator."
So okay. That's,
and you know what? Fidel Castro said, "I will not die until I destroy America," and he died the week after Donald Trump was elected.
Yeah, I don't think he had anything to do with this one.
I think it's ironic that America's been destroyed.
I think that actually Fidel Castro would be as surprised as Raul Castro was that Trump got in, and I'm very disappointed as well, because I think that Cuba is ready for to be opened up, and I think that the people have expressed that, and the fact that that's not going to happen now is truly terrifying. Let's go to the BBC
how much of the infrastructure, the flights, the visas, the trade which Obama put into place are actually going to stay?
We don't know yet. We have no idea. What he said on the campaign tour was that would be one of the things that would be on his list of things to do. His wish list,
his wish list.
Tearing up Obamacare and terminating our relationship with Cuba. And, of course, he came out with his dictator shit. You know, I got to say something right now. I don't think that he was a saint. I think that he was a brutal, brutal dictator to people who are against him.
Yeah.
But America supports dictators worse than him before breakfast. Are
absolutely
you fucking
right.
I listen to these Republicans and they go, "I am shocked that Fidel Castro gave everybody in his country medical care and a college education."
And
you
have
people
what?
Running out. You got people, they may be poor, but they don't die in the street like in America.
Yeah,
and I'm
but
telling
they have
you,
a literacy,
before
a literacy,
breakfast, Randy, we support Egypt's despotic dictatorship, that we just installed there.
Yeah.
That basically
Syria.
We have supported in the past South American dictators that make, oh God, Pinochet in Chile. I mean, the Shah of Iran. We supported dictators that would make Fidel Castro on his worst day blanch with embarrassment to be leagued in with them. Because you know what? He was probably half a tyrant, but I got to tell you, the people loved him. Those lines are real.
They have the top literacy rate, absolutely, I think, in the world of up in the, I think it's 89%, whereas America can only claim something in the 70s.
And we were at a point in time where we were actually going to just sober up and stop this nonsense.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we supported a despotic regime before that. The dictatorship that Fidel Castro overthrew, you know, I mean, if you want a proper image of that dictatorship, I think it was Somoza. It wasn't Somoza. What was it? I forget the
guy who we took.
Cuban guy who was in the bag for, he was in the pocket of United Sugar. Yeah. Down there in Cuba. And he left them. The mafia.
Chiquita bananas, all of them. Yeah.
If you want a great portrayal of the dictatorship that basically people like Castro took over in Cuba, Somoza, I think it was Somoza. I'm thinking that might be him. But anyway, look at The Godfather Part 2. That's it. I mean, this guy basically treated the people like shit. You know, Castro was dictator, but he gave everyone a college education. He made sure that they didn't get sick. You know, I don't see any of the guys that we support in Egypt
Batista.
Doing that. You know,
Batista.
I mean,
his name was
Batista. The Batista regime.
Fulgencio Batista.
The Batista regime was renowned for its brutality. Yeah. You know, and we supported it. We didn't give a shit that he was a dictator. Come on, man. Jesus Christ. You guys are such hypocritical assholes. You think that people don't read books? Yeah, well, that's more or less true, because most people don't know that we support these people. Because we do. We do. We support worse people before breakfast. That's true. I'm sorry. I went on. It's your time.
No.
Go.
The point is, but Cuba, because basically we won the Spanish-American War in 1902, we got Guam, we got the Philippines, and Puerto Rico, and a lot of Americans thought we deserved Cuba as well.
Yeah.
So they always felt, even up until 1959, that they got gypped, that it really should have been a territory of the United States. And so that sort of feeling goes back a long way.
You got a clip, man.
I do. Let's listen to how the BBC wrapped up the death of Fidel Castro last week at the age of 90.
Here it is.
Darnos por vencido. Renunciar a la revolución. Renunciar al socialismo. Rendirnos.
Fidel Castro was the world's longest-serving dictator. Although the United States often tried to get rid of him, in the end, Fidel Castro outlasted 9 American presidents. He was a constant irritant to them, a communist leader right on their doorstep. Castro was determined to overthrow the American-backed Batista regime, which happily profited from the corruption and gross inequality of a haven for the playboy rich, dominated by organized crime. So Castro and his band of revolutionaries masterminded a classic guerrilla campaign from their mountain base.
On January the 2nd, 1959, the rebel army entered Havana.
Castro had triumphed, Batista had fled, and Cuba had a new government, with the legendary Che Guevara among its members. Its promise, to give the land back to the people and defend the rights of the poor. Soon afterwards, Castro went to America, saying he wanted to be friends with his powerful neighbor, but he felt rejected when President Eisenhower wouldn't see him. Snubbed by the Americans, Castro claimed he was driven into the arms of the Soviet Union and its leader, Nikita Khrushchev. Cuba had now become a Cold War battleground. April 1961, the Bay of Pigs. This was America's doomed attempt to topple Castro by recruiting a private army of Cuban exiles to invade the island. But the young revolutionary was more than a match for them. Under his command, Cuban troops repulsed the invaders, killing many and capturing 1,000.
The evidence is incontrovertible.
A year later, the stakes were far higher. American reconnaissance planes discovered Soviet missiles on their way to sites in Cuba. The world was suddenly staring into the abyss of all-out nuclear war.
Unmistakable evidence has established the fact that a series of offensive missile sites is now in preparation on that imprisoned island.
The superpowers stood eyeball to eyeball, but it was Khrushchev who blinked first, pulling his missiles out of Cuba in return for a secret withdrawal of US weapons from Turkey. Castro, though, had become America's enemy number one. The CIA frequently tried to assassinate him, most infamously with a cigar packed with explosives. Other schemes were even more bizarre.
This was a bright idea, that if we got a certain powder to him, if he put it on, this would his beard would fall out and the Cuban people would all fall over laughing and he would be ridiculed.
But while America plotted, the Soviet Union poured money into Cuba. It bought the bulk of the island's sugar harvest, and Russian ships crammed into Havana Harbor, bringing in desperately needed goods to beat the American blockade. But when Soviet communism collapsed, so too did Cuba's economy. The little island faced economic collapse. Tempers grew shorter as the food queues grew longer. By the mid-90s, many Cubans had had enough. Thousands took to the sea in a waterborne exodus to Florida. It was a crushing vote of no confidence in Fidel Castro. And the Florida exiles became the focus of a vigorous campaign to undermine Castro's regime. Still, Castro could be proud of some of his achievements. High-quality medical care, freely available for all. Literacy rates matching leading industrialized countries. But in 2006, Fidel Castro was forced by illness to hand power to his younger brother, Raúl. He initiated a program of reforms without undoing all his brother's work. Out of power and increasingly frail, Fidel Castro was seen only rarely. This was January 2014. Later that year, the United States and Cuba made their biggest move towards a permanent thaw, hoping to draw a line under the past. But Fidel Castro remained a huge figure of the 20th century, and the Fidel effect will fade only slowly. While many Cubans undoubtedly detested Fidel Castro, others genuinely loved him. They saw him as a David who could stand up to the Goliath of America, who successfully spat in the Yankee eye. For them, Castro was Cuba, and Cuba was Castro. James Robbins, BBC News.
That was great.
Yeah, that have a cigar. Have a cigar, Bill.
The exploding cigars. You know, come on.
Oh, that's 600 attempts on his life.
600 attempts on this guy's life. You got to admire this guy that managed to stand up to the most powerful nation on earth for as long as he did. Now,
the most inept assassination squad on earth.
And not only
over 600.
But you know what's really interesting that was sitting there said, and it's a common mistake America's made. At the end of World War II, Ho Chi Minh wanted to see Truman. He literally sit there and said, "Listen, I want to see Truman so that we can talk about the French leaving Indochina because we helped you during World War II. Ho Chi Minh's people actually helped the Allies during World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
And Truman wouldn't see him because de Gaulle wanted to get all the colonies back. And to calm down de Gaulle, basically Truman screwed Ho Chi Minh and said, well, we're not going to, you know, they're going to come back. You know, they're going to take back their colonies. At that point, Ho Chi Minh was driven into the hands of China. Not of China, but of the communists. Yeah, the communists. He was a nationalist movement. driven to the communists. And from what your thing says, he went to see Eisenhower, and Eisenhower was too busy trying to figure out how to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. You know, and so, you know, I mean, quite frankly, you know, I mean, if somebody's trying to kill you, yeah, you're not going to talk to them that much. So,
America,
you know,
America deserves what they got.
You forced him into the Soviet hand.
And then partitioning Vietnam, just like partitioning Korea, just didn't work.
It's all it's all empire, baby. You know, and this idea that somehow Fidel Castro is some terrible demon, awful dictator. Shockingly, yeah, I'm sure he's murdered. We murdered 100,000 in a war that nobody wanted, and there was no evidence that we should have gotten involved in. So I get a bit queasy when I see conservatives start pointing the finger at Fidel Castro, considering the fact that most people there don't die on the street of a medical condition.
Yeah, you and, know, and can actually read a book.
And they actually read a book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know.
And they can go to the Buena Vista Social Club and listen to really good music.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, this, you know, that's what, you know, I mean, things could have changed, but it's not gonna now. It's not gonna.
No.
What else you got, man?
Oh, what else have I got?
Yeah, what else you got? Anything else?
Oh, well, we've got our, I've got a little, just a little clip.
A little clip? What do you got?
Which I think actually plays into what we talk about.
Okay.
And that's the fact that to take the piss out of Donald Trump, you really need humor and you need satire. Yeah. And unfortunately, I think he is just such a big disaster that a lot of comedians are finding it difficult. So let's listen to a good old Australian boy, Tim Minchin.
Yeah.
Who we sort of have lost to London. And
he wrote Matilda.
He wrote Matilda, and he's also written the Groundhog Day musical, which I've heard tracks from, that is really amazing.
Wonderful. He's a really funny guy.
Yeah, so have a listen to Tim Minchin. Just talk about how difficult it's going to be to laugh at Donald Trump.
Yeah, here's Tim Minchin.
I'm dumbstruck by the whole thing, incredibly sad. It's really, really, really depressing. You know, he's talking about a creationist for the head of education. And I mean, I can't believe it. And suddenly all my comedian friends in America are just sort of, they're just dried up. They're just
struck down.
Suddenly realize it's not funny. We always knew it wasn't funny, but comedians I know, I guess, thought that ever since jesters that we've meant to point out the foolishness of people's ways, or in the case with me and Pell, in my opinion, a certain moral hypocrisy, but in a way that makes people laugh. And the hypothesis is that that has a social effect.
So to amplify the foolishness, not to attract people to it.
That's right. But in a post-truth internet world, you know, we realize that it just doesn't work anymore because everyone's getting peppered with information from every side and no one knows what's real anymore.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, and I mean, from a guy, and I don't know if many of our listeners would have heard his satirical song about Cardinal George Pell, the Australian cardinal.
Our American people wouldn't have heard it.
Who was in the Vatican. I think he was the Vatican's financial director. He's an Australian cardinal, but was mired in child molestation charges.
We had our own kitty diddling kind of conspiracy.
But he
here.
Wouldn't come back to answer charges.
And he wouldn't come back to testify. Yeah. You know, and it became quite painfully obvious that George Pell was kind of the man in the gray flannel suit when it came for taking advantage of child rape, you know, or taking responsibility for it anyway. Yeah. And so Tim mentioned to this incredibly wonderful thing. I'll play it for you next
Yeah, episode. It's a wonderful song.
Yeah, but what he says about the comics is not funny anymore, man.
No.
I'm fully aware that this podcast usually tries to be kind of smart-ass and funny as well as wonky, but it hasn't been that much fun.
No,
seriously.
We're hurting inside,
Well, no, I'm very scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very scared. I'm originally very scared for the people who I know and love. I know people who are on Medicare. I know people on Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
I know who that they've nominated for Secretary of Health wants to privatize Medicare, and he wants to privatize Medicaid.
Yeah, and the one now, the education
old people are going to yeah, and the guy that you have making in the he's going to be in the Treasury turned old people out of their homes.
And with the fraud. With the graying of the population, you know, I mean, that's going to be a majority of people.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's a hard rain coming, and it's sometimes very hard to be humorous about it. Mm. Good night, everybody. And now a fart joke. So anyway, let's. Do you want to? We'll go to a break and then come back with our tinfoil hats. What do you think?
Yeah,
absolutely. We'll be back with 164 and tinfoil hats in just 1 minute, kids.
Here we go.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. It's not a fuck. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum fucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room in this little... screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar rolled the film, and it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before that looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll, and then the film, the screen goes up and the lights come up and they go to the new president, any questions? Just what my agenda is. First, we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight. Yes, it's tinfoil hat time, Randy, for 164.
Yeah. I love this segment.
You do, I know.
Well, it's just...
Gives you a lot of satisfaction.
It's the gift that keeps giving. I think we talked about if
like
you ever really want
fish
to...
fish in a bowl.
It's like shooting fish on the end of your line.
Finding an absurd nutcase in power in America right now. Is absolutely, you know what really is pissing me off? The smugness of the truly mentally deranged. You know, the people who are,
well, I've got one of them.
Intelligent as
I've
a post.
One of them.
This is the only time they've ever been smug in their lives. This is it.
Well, they're really enjoying
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And they're coming out of the absolute woodwork.
Wait till they take away your Medicare.
And your unemployment benefits, and wait till they foreclose on your house.
We live in Australia, so we're fine.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
By the way, people but in California, they're the fourth largest economy. So
in the whole world. Yeah.
So they're going to be fine. You stupid shit in fucking bumfuck Arkansas, you are truly going to get fucked.
I thought bumfuck was in Idaho. Anyway.
Oh, anyway. Sorry. What's your tinfoil hat, pal?
Oh, my tinfoil hat's one of those Trumpledites.
Yeah.
This guy got on a plane, a jet, from Atlanta, quite a large city in the south, in Georgia, going to Allentown, Pennsylvania, deer hunter town. Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy gets on. I think he probably had a few.
Yes.
And he starts a rant. He stands up in the aisle and he says, "Okay, everybody." Well, I'll play the thing. He wants everybody to cheer Trump.
Oh, okay, dear.
Put up your hand if you voted for Donald Trump. Any Hillary bitches on here? So this guy's going on and on.
Bill O'Reilly. Those are your bros.
Yeah.
If you don't like it,
too bad.
Hey, Mitt.
Now this guy's not been named.
Mitt Romney needs to start taking the bus.
Yeah. This guy hasn't been, for some reason, even though he was banned forever from ever going on Delta Airlines again, he hasn't been name.
And by the way, if you've ever been on Delta Airlines, that's not a really cruel punishment. So I'm just saying that.
Well, they're probably not as bad as some of the others. But anyway, Delta banned him for life.
Yeah.
But let's have a listen to this guy carrying on. No. If you just picture him, if you haven't seen the footage, and it's been repeated 1,000 times on YouTube.
Okay.
He's standing up in the aisle, yelling up and down the aisle of probably a normal meat tube of maybe 100 people.
Okay, here it is. Randy's ran a Trump supporter in the air.
How many people, man? Really? Ain't nobody gonna say no shit on this plane?
We can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up. We got some Hillary bitches on here. Come on, baby. Trump. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, baby. Donald Trump. It's your presence. Every goddamn one of you. If you don't like it, too bad.
You know what I'm going to get Mitt Romney? I'm going to get him a lifetime supply of I'm with stupid t-shirts. And, can you imagine Mitt with his kind of BMW going, yes, that bigoted fellow with the t-shirt reeking of alcohol is right. Now, sit down, my friend. You and I are in complete agreement.
But what happens when Donald Trump's, when Ivanka is made ambassador to Japan? You know, she was allowed into the meeting with the Japanese ambassador.
I told you, I'm not going to do any Ivanka jokes. No Ivanka jokes. Don't even go there. The kids.
Why not?
Because the kids and the wife are off limits. Sorry. No
what
more.
What about the boys?
No.
What about Usei and Uday?
Uday and Kusei. Yeah, you could go to town on that. Well, but she's, not Melania. Melania.
No,
I think,
not Melania. I'm talking about Ivanka, his daughter.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, I'll leave her alone too.
No, no, she's a bigger crook. She's a bigger crook than he is.
No, leave her alone. Come on, we don't need.
She's
to
a Vita Perone. No, she's not a Vita Perone.
Okay, all right.
She has. She took her shoes.
I'll make sure that they send it to your house.
Her shoes were being made. Shoes were being made in Cambodia or something, and she was ripping off people there. And now she's moved her industries to. Ethiopia.
If you're going to say that, the next Randy's rant has to be you with facts backing it up.
Okay. Well, she made her shoes in Asia, and now she's moved.
I think you're probably right.
Now she's moved her business to Ethiopia.
Next week, I want to hear where Ivanka Trump gets her stuff made.
Okay.
And which sweatshops.
Well, you know, Standing Rock. Remember Standing Rock? About 3 months ago when we first mentioned that?
Yes, that's the Indian thing.
And all of a sudden, look where it's gone. It's
what
humongous.
Does that have to do with Ivanka Trump?
No, I'm just saying that we sometimes say things early on here.
Yes, we do.
Because we get the vibe.
Yeah.
We got the vibe from Standing Rock, mainly from Bill 2.
Yeah.
Because the original Kansas City Bill, who has Indian blood and from North Dakota, and he from Wounded Knee, and he brought it to my attention.
Yeah,
and
we
talked about it. And it's amazing.
Yeah, we do. So
look
you're
going to
start this
gone.
On Ivanka Trump now. Is that what you're going
to
do?
Well, I'm just saying that sometimes we get a vibe. And we run with
vibe.
It, and it's good. Well, I am a child of the 60s.
You're changing subject like somebody who did a lot of pharmaceuticals in the 60s.
That's my Asperger's, yeah. You know, it's named after me. It's named after me.
Randall Asperger.
Yeah, Randall Berger, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're an Asperger, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not an ass. You're a lovely person.
Now, Willie, I want one from you.
Yeah, well, you will get one from me, damn it. Let's have a look. I've got a wonderful here one from Uncle Pat. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Uncle Pat Robertson, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Pat, this is actually one that I think that you might enjoy. It's kind of humorous, Uncle Pat, because Pat takes letters at the end of his show.
Yeah.
And some of the letters are about how evil Halloween is.
Yeah.
This one's about a lady who had a house that she thought was possessed. This is Uncle Pat in all his crazy.
Possessed, here, not repossessed.
Here you go. Here it is.
Margaret says 2 years ago, a born-again single lady I know bought a 60-year-old house. Earlier this year, she was woken up by her bed shaking. It happened again then after asking neighbors if something bad happened in the house. She learned there had been two separate suicides in the garage and maybe a third in the house. A few other things have happened in the house, like cabinet doors being open that had been shut and waking up to an unintelligible electronic voice. What do you suggest she do?
Sell. One word, sell and get out. You know, there are demon spirits. They are real. And I do think that in this case, the house is possessed. You could get a group of people in there to do an exorcism and get rid of them. But I think in your case, the lady's in her 60s, single lady, sell the thing. Let somebody else have the problem.
Get a nice new place.
Yeah, get a nice new one that didn't have somebody commit suicide in it.
And I love Pat's view. Basically, sell it to someone else. Let them deal with the bleeding of the walls. Let them deal with the killer zombies in the middle of the night that come out and try to stalk them. By the way, don't sell them to a Christian. Sell them to a Jew.
Or a gay couple. A gay couple.
A Jewish lesbian black person. Of course, just, you know. And basically, I love that Uncle Pat's first thing is, how can I profit by this? And how can I inflict the demons of Satan on another unsuspecting family?
Sell. Well, if you sold it and you gave me all the money, it will not be possessed.
It will be
repossessed.
That's right. Now we're going.
And
he always has that way of saying things like, we're going fishing in the fishing hole after he finishes talking.
Yeah. And you know what? The fact that it is on an Indian burial ground is of no consequence.
So 10 weeks later, a black Jewish lesbian couple is sitting there going, my mother's talking from the television. I don't know why.
They're here.
That Pat Robertson family, they fucked me over again. Damn you. I'm calling up the zoning committee, the local town bylaws. Have a thing against this shit. I've got to actually say that I was listening to a group of insults because I have this wide library of shit we use for this show. And I literally found an insult that reminded me specifically of Mike Pence. And I'm just going to share it with you. It's just a wonderful insult, and this is it. I don't know what movie it's from, but it's from a collection of movie insults. This is Mike Pence to me.
For me, you're somewhere between a cockroach and that white stuff that accumulates at the corner of your mouth when you're really thirsty.
It's Mike Pence.
I had a teacher like that.
The white stuff at the corner.
Mr. Oliver, sixth grade. He had so much of that white stuff.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I can remember.
Watching it while they're talking. You're just watching this white shit. And it's the most vile shit in the world, and a cockroach. That's kind of, I view Mike Pence as if someone in South America cloned Hitler and crossed Hitler with a real estate salesman.
Well, they probably did that,
You know, just like you can see this guy being the Century 21 representative at Auschwitz. You know, it's like, hi, kids, how you doing?
We're just making
cookies. No problem.
That's smoke. Don't pay attention to that smoke. Those screams. The water in the shower. The water in the shower was just a little too hot.
If you think that I'm kidding, you're wrong. I think Mike Pence is the worst sort of hypocrite.
This is the guy that wants to hang gay people.
This is the guy that claims to love the Lord. Yeah. He loves the Lord, but he's perfectly willing for a person accused of child rape and a known molester of women to be president of the United States.
Yeah.
He's a hypocrite. He's a weasel. He's the worst sort of trash. Yeah. And you're seeing all these maggots. I mean, just the people that Quicksand would cough up, you know, Newt Gingrich. You know, I mean, they're all there. They're like floating to the surface like turds in a bowl. You know, I swear to God. And, you know, there's a point in which we were thinking that maybe Mitt Romney wasn't a turd. Maybe he wasn't a floater. But sooner or later, he just popped up just like all the rest of them.
Yeah, that's it.
Floating there in a puddle of piss.
And now you're looking at Jeb Bush and thinking, what if?
God, you know, Jeb Bush isn't insane. I think that
he's not insane, and he even though he was a terrible crook, and shafted you know, Al Gore and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
he was a bit of a pussy, but I would have had him.
I know this is how bad it's gotten. Yeah, because we're sitting there going with Jeb Bush, not bad. You know, the thing is that this is literally what I think is going to happen in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I think in the next 2 years, you're going to have you're going to have a burst in the economy when he gets in, because all the corporations are going to be just absolutely, you know, they're going to be in hog heaven, because you look at the nominees and they're like Koch brothers guys, all these guys.
They're 15% company tax. Yeah.
Wall Street is going to go to town. You're going to have a big pop in the Dow, and it's going to look successful. And then about 2 years in, you're going to have the hugest big shit financial crisis.
Yep.
It's going to be huge.
Yep.
You're going to have the big ass financial crisis, and then to take then you're going to have all these people who realize that Donald Trump fucked them over.
Yeah.
And they are going to be madder than fucking hell. The Democrats will be sitting on their ass because the same people told you so. No. This is why I really don't have faith in the Democratic Party. They need to change right now, because right now the corporates who are finding that Trump's okay, that they do represent his interests. I mean, the Secretary of the Treasury is a former chairman of the board at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
So these guys are not going to, they're going to be discouraging the Democrats from doing any of these challenges or anything like that. And the Democrats are going to go to town on a few things. Maybe they'll stand up to Medicare or a Social Security cut. But a lot of the other shit's going to go right through.
Yep.
And then when the shit hits the fan, no one will trust the Democrats either. They'll have nowhere to go. Okay.
So what's going to happen?
I think that there's a possibility that either the Democratic Party changes right now or that you're looking at a possible third party happening in America.
Well, that's how the Republicans started in 1858.
Yeah, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing. I think you change the Democratic Party. But in the end, in 2 years, though, once this shit hits the fan, you're assuming that there isn't a conflict on the Korean Peninsula. You're assuming that there isn't a conflict in Syria. You're assuming there isn't a conflict between Pakistan and India. You're assuming that there isn't a conflict between China and the Taiwan Strait. You're assuming all these things don't blow up. Something's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen internationally, Trump will push it to make it happen, to draw the attention away from the fact that his economic policies.
Well, but war is good for the economy.
That's right.
My mother said that.
This I don't think, you know, really seriously, the length and breadth of the horror show that we're going to experience is not even evident yet. I hate to be a downer, guys, because I don't live there, you know, and I'm terrified. I am terrified for my family. I'm terrified for the people I know that are on public assistance. I'm terrified for all those people who listen to this show. You know, we're doing what we can over here. Get out, do something.
Radio Free Australia. That's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
The Bill Show is going to, we're going to give you the news if we can still broadcast to you if he doesn't bring down.
We're literally in the outback of Australia.
Yeah, if he doesn't bring down the Trump curtain.
But anyway, listen, we should probably say goodbye.
I
want to thank Faith. Oh, I love Faith.
Faith Justice. Is that a real name?
It is. Faith is a lovely woman who has decided to sponsor our show. And I love you, Faith. Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you, Faith.
God bless you.
I will make jokes about your virtuous name.
Yeah, but you know, she's a virtuous lady.
It's like somebody calling somebody Virginia Chastity or something, you know.
I guess that could be true, Randy.
Yeah, okay.
Then you could possibly also reach us at thebillshow.net. Everything Bill's Show in one place.
It is.
We're going to have some more stuff on there, links that we talked about during the show today. I'll tell you
where to buy the Ivanka Trump shoes.
That's for the next show.
You set me the task. You set me the task.
I set you the task, Randy. Okay, listen. Until next time, folks, stay well, keep cool, keep happy. Happy trails to you. Sing along, Randy. Bye,
until
guys. See
we
ya.
Meet again. Bye.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you.